Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading is from Luke 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord our God, we are grateful for your love and for your grace, for the forgiveness we've received today, because we struggle as people. We are sinful. We do wrong. But we're grateful for your love and your forgiveness whenever we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for bringing us together in worship as we now await your message for us. My prayer is that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds, not to block what you want to say to us from our lives, but to be open to receive and to be changed by your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, when the COVID pandemic was raging in 2020, the Navajo and Hopi families established a GoFundMe page. And the relief fund was a volunteer effort to get food and water to some of the tribe's homebound elders in remote areas. And then the women operating the fund noticed a significant increase in donations. And what was strange was that almost all of the new money was coming from Ireland. And the uptick in contributions was so strong that Cassandra Begay, the fund's communication director, wondered if the website had been hacked. And then they eventually learned that the new donations started with a Twitter exchange between an Irish reporter and a Navajo engineer. Naomi O'Leary, the European correspondent for the Irish Times, had tweeted, "Native Americans raised a huge amount in famine relief for Ireland in a time when they had very little. It's time for us to come through for them now." And Aaron Yazzie, in Los Angeles, the Navajo engineer, responded by tweeting the web address of the relief fund's GoFundMe page. And in May of 2020, there were 20,000 Irish donors to the fund. And together they had donated $670,000. A couple of months later, the fund had topped $4 million from all sources. And what O'Leary was referring to was an 1847 act of charity by the Choctaw tribe. They were recently off the Trail of Tears and struggling to make their new home in what is now Oklahoma. But after learning that the Irish were also oppressed and hungry due to that country's notorious potato famine, the Choctaws, despite having very few resources themselves, raised $170. In today's money, that's about $6,500. And they sent it to Ireland to help with food relief. And during those terrible days when an eighth of the Irish population died from starvation and disease, that $170 was the largest donation they received. And so now during COVID, thousands of Irish people donated small amounts from across the Atlantic to the Navajo GoFundMe page. And many of them posted a common Irish proverb that I'm not going to try and read to you in Irish Gaelic. I tried, but I just can't. In any case, what it means is, in each other's shadows, the people live. In each other's shadows, the people live. And Cassandra Begay, the fund's communication director, said, "We're so grateful to the ancestors of the Choctaw Nation for their generosity generations ago, and to the Irish people for paying it forward." And it goes to show the interconnectedness of everything, which is our concept of kin, of kinship, and that a simple act of kindness can be profound. And so she thanked the Irish for paying forward the kindness that the Choctaws had shown all those years ago to them. Paying it forward. I mean, you've heard the phrase, right? There was a movie out about that a while ago also. It's become a popular term, paying it forward. And I think it's a good way to describe those acts of kindness and support. But another way to define it is as it is as the golden rule in action. The golden rule in action. Now, of course, we've all heard that rule. And Jesus referred to it in today's passage from Luke. He said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Treat others just as you want to be treated. Jesus says, here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Now, the original form of that command, the origin, is actually much older. Okay, it exists in the Old Testament in slightly different form. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Have you ever had that one before? Heard that one before? Every Sunday, right? And it's interesting that many of the world's religions have a similar statement. The Baha'i faith says, "Lay not on any soul a load that you would not wish to be laid upon you, and desire not for anyone the things you would not desire for yourself." Buddhism says, "Treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Confucianism, one word which sums up the basis of all good conduct, loving kindness. Do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself. Hinduism, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Judaism, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah. All the rest is commentary. Go and learn it. Taoism, regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. And Islam, none of you believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. So the Golden Rule is a great summary of an ethic that Christianity shares with other faiths. So, Golden Rule thinking can be the reason for small acts of kindness. You find a wallet that someone has lost, and instead of helping yourself to the cash in it, you use the contact information and you return the wallet to its owner. Golden Rule thinking can also take the form of larger acts of kindness. The story about the Native Americans and the Irish is a good example of that. And then there's a recent study that revealed that when you show compassion to teenagers, when they feel that others actually care for them, when they receive kind deeds, they have a greater likelihood of treating others the same way. So the question is, what has happened to the Golden Rule? What's happened to it? I mean, when you look at the world, when you look at the United States, what you see is that we are rumbling along without paying much attention to the Golden Rule. It seems to be especially true in politics these days. In so many places and in so many parts of life, the Golden Rule gets only lip service. And even if it gets some attention, it sometimes gets twisted. For some, the rule has become accepted in a negative sense. Instead of do to others as you would have them do to you, the way it's stated in Scripture, it has become don't do anything to others that you wouldn't want them to do to you. Now, there's nothing wrong, I guess, with the negative version, but it demands far less of us than the way Jesus taught it. This negative mutation of the Golden Rule is simply a common sense, you know, a self-preservation directive. There's nothing particularly Christian about the idea. For example, that I won't steal from my neighbor in hope that my neighbor won't steal from me. The negative version also, you know, doesn't urge us to offer anything to our neighbor. The idea that we can help them by something we have. It's one thing to say, listen, I won't injure others because I would object to them hurting me. It's quite another thing to say, I will go out of my way to help others as I would want them to do for me. And Jesus teaches that the Golden Rule is not an avoidance mechanism. It is a deliberate involvement principle. In other settings, you know, the Golden Rule has undergone a very cynical transformation. It has become something like, do to others before they do to you. And this, by the way, is a grotesque distortion of the ethic. Instead of it being the Golden Rule, it becomes the Gold Rule. I'll get mine while the getting is good. Or I look out only for number one. People say, well, you know, corruption, I mean, it's everywhere. So I might as well look out for myself because no one else will. And yes, unfortunately, there is a lot of truth to the statement that these days corruption is widespread. And we do see that more and more people who are supposed to be working for the public good are looking out primarily for themselves instead. But simply because this is happening, it does not excuse those of us who try to follow Jesus' way. Even where sin is rampant, God still calls us to be obedient and to be holy. Some people say, well, this Golden Rule, you know, Jesus is teaching, and this idea of of turning the other cheek, well, that's just way too weak to take seriously. Russell Moore, editor-in-chief of the magazine Christianity Today, says that this belief is one of the reasons that Christianity is in crisis. And he explains that he's had multiple pastors tell him essentially the same story about quoting Jesus saying, turn the other cheek, only to have someone come up to him afterwards and say, where did you get those liberal talking points? And Moore said that in many of those scenarios when the pastor would say, I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ, the response would not be, oh, I apologize. The response would be, yes, but I mean, that doesn't work anymore. That's weak. And then Moore adds, and he says, when we get to the point where the teachings of Jesus himself are seen as subversive to us, then we're in a crisis. Well, he was likely referring to a limited number of settings where the term liberal talking points reveals that the divisiveness in politics is really ripping the Christian fabric. But fortunately, in many places, the golden rule has also gone into some people's hearts and into their lives. For example, many people in the movements for political and civil and social and economic justice have a deep desire to treat other people the way they'd like to be treated if their roles were reversed. And so the golden rule continues to inform people who take Jesus seriously. But even beyond, you know, social justice actions, the place where we really, really need the golden rule is in our everyday life. And those matters that may seem small, but they actually determine the quality of our lives and the integrity of our existence. I mean, very few of us personally confront daily issues of murder or political corruption or nuclear responsibility and so on, but we do continually face ethical questions. Things like, shall I keep my word? Can I honor my commitments? Can I treat the person in front of me with kindness and with compassion? And there's something else we should hear from today's passage, by the way. Jesus also said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. He says, well, if you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? God and variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. In other words, Jesus calls us to reflect in our actions the distinctive ethic that shows we are taking him seriously. Do we do more than others when it comes to living out the golden rule? And by the way, we don't obey the golden rule in the hope that it'll have the effect that we hope for. And often it will, but keeping that rule is not so we can get credit for changing the world. It's so we can keep faith with Jesus, who calls us to do what? To follow him. Parker Palmer is a Christian teacher and a writer, and he talks about a, a good friend who works at the New York Catholic Worker House. And she has a particularly hard assignment. And one day he said to her, "All the facts I can gather, all the feelings I have tell me that this work you're trying to do is just impossible. There's no success in it. There's no gratification. The tide just keeps rolling over you. So why do you do it?" And the woman answered, "Parker, the thing you don't understand is this. Just because a thing is impossible, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. We may think it's impossible for us to live by the golden rule. The Irish Native American connection is one example that shows it's not impossible. But even when it doesn't have the desired outcome, we should still do it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for your word, and sometimes it is maybe not easy to hear for us, but your word is the truth. And when we reflect on our own lives, my prayer is that we will see the need to follow your Son, to live out in practical ways the golden rule that Jesus teaches. May you give us the strength and the grace to be able to do that as we want to follow your Son Jesus. Amen.